just wow. Andy Scheckman from Miles Franklin really nailed it again and again when he was warning, I don't know, over a year ago, that there's going to be accelerated global de-dollarization. And frankly, John Rubino has also nailed it. And many other people, Jared Salenti and others. I've interviewed all these people, and they've nailed it. We just saw an announcement that China is trading with Brazil now without using the dollar to clear transactions. So China is directly using yuan to trade with Brazil. I think Brazil is purchasing liquid natural gas, LNG, from China, large volumes. And it turns out that now Brazil's largest trading partner is China, no longer the United States. So we're seeing the waning of the U.S. economic dominance around the world and the waning of the U.S. currency as more and more countries, not just Brazil, but also, you know, Turkey and India and BRICS nations and BRICS Plus nations and everybody else wants to join BRICS Plus because the dollar is becoming worthless, absolutely worthless. We also saw a warning. And it'll take time, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying tomorrow. It will take time, but it will be worthless. We also saw a former Fed official, forgot her name. It's a woman who's come out. We're going to cover it in a story, is now saying that if the petrodollar status is lost globally, that it would be absolutely devastating to the currency and that the dollar would become worthless. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what she said. We'll do a story on it on naturalnews.com. But she's now saying the same thing that Andy Scheckman has been saying or that John Rubino has been saying and so on. And it's, you know, look, it's obvious. The only thing that gives the dollar its value right now globally is the fact that, well, the U.S. financial system has been a global bully. It's dollar hegemony, essentially. It's a financial monopoly of sorts. We force countries to use the dollar. And when countries threatened to sell oil in things other than the dollar, i.e. Iraq, Operation Desert Storm, 1991, then the United States military went in and bombed them into oblivion and assassinated their leader. That's what that war was all about. And if you don't believe me, just ask Muammar Gaddafi. Oh wait, he's dead too. Because the U.S. attacked Libya for essentially the same reason, because Libya was going to trade in things other than dollars. So the United States, understand, has used the military, which is missiles and bombs and guns, for all these years to just threaten, like to put a gun to the head of foreign nations and say, you're going to use the dollar or we will bomb you. That's essentially the way the world has been run financially for, I don't know, many decades, probably post-World War II. And yet that system is now breaking. And it's breaking for several reasons. Number one, the world sees that the U.S. military under this woke, corrupt leadership, that the military is weak and incapable. And they saw it in Afghanistan under Joe Biden, when the U.S. military fled Afghanistan and left behind billions of dollars in military equipment, including helicopters and airplanes and Humvees, hundreds of vehicles that were just released recently by the Taliban in a photo. It's like, look what we found. Yeah, that's all U.S. military equipment that was given to them, essentially, because the military can't even fight the Taliban. And by the way, then we also saw an issue which I'll cover in Brighton Broadcast News, BBN, we're seeing now that the United States has dropped its hypersonic missile program with Lockheed Martin. So the U.S. is abandoning its hypersonic weapons program because its missiles fail. Well, Russia has hypersonic missiles that are being used in the battle right now. Russia is making them and using them and showing that they are practical. And by the way, Russia can destroy every U.S. aircraft carrier with those hypersonic missiles whenever they want. There's no defense against these. The U.S. can't make this. They can't compete with Russia on advanced weapons. So the world sees this now. The world is realizing that oh my God, the United States military, they're weak. They can't even build advanced missiles anymore. They've run out of munitions. It's a woke culture of, you know, sissyfoots and whatever, sissy pants. Now, just for the record, I'm not denigrating the individual members of the military. We honor your service, those of you who are dedicated to America. What I'm saying is the culture from the top is pushing this, and you know that. They're pushing transgenderism and LGBT themes all throughout the military, which is driving active duty people and veterans utterly, you know, bonkers. Like, what the heck, man? We're supposed to be a strong fighting force. We're supposed to be, you know, pretty macho. And now the Pentagon is trying to sissify the whole military. Well, the world sees that too. And they're like, well, this sissified military that can't make advanced weapons, they're no longer a threat to us. Why should we continue to use the dollar? We'll just start trading. I'm saying that these nations would say this, that they'll start trading directly with China or Russia. They'll trade in the ruble or the yuan or whatever, North Korea, Iran, Turkey, India, the rupee. There are all kinds of deals being struck between India and other trading partners to settle transactions directly in rupees. They're not using dollars anymore for a lot of these, and the rupee is expanding, and the yuan is expanding from China, the renminbi, as it's also known. So that's one thing. The second thing that happened is when the United States cut off Russia from the SWIFT banking system and effectively seized $300+ billion worth of Russian assets that were held in Western central banks, this was a message to the world, to every other country in the world. The message was, oh my God, don't depend on America and the Western banking system because they can steal your money at any time. They can seize your money. They can take everything from you. And they did, from Russia. So if you're a country, I don't know, even a small African nation or an Asian nation, a South American nation, and you're looking at this, and then China and Russia come along and say, hey, how would you like to have an honest, probably commodities-backed international currency system where we guarantee we won't deplatform you from that system and you won't have to bow down to the empire of the United States, which will threaten to bomb you and kill you if you don't go along with them. How would you like to use a new transaction system that we built that's backed by gold, probably? I mean, you know, where do I sign, right? That's what a lot of these countries are going to say. Yeah, sign me up. Heck yeah. We don't want to use dollars anymore. We're tired of buying dollars and having them lose value. And the U.S. has abused its dollars anyway by printing far too many of them. So all around the world, people are looking at the dollar and they're ready to ditch it. And they are ditching it. This is already happening. So this is not theoretical. This is happening every day if you read the headlines. And, you know, a lot of the mainstream media won't really highlight these stories, but they're out there. Watch Brazil, watch India, watch China, watch Russia. Look at the settlements, the new transactional framework that is being erected all around the world simply to ditch the dollar. Now then, you fold in the banking crisis in the United States, and yes, it's a crisis. We've already had three or four banks collapse. That's just the beginning. Well, how are these banks being bailed out? Well, we were told by Janet Yellen that it's not being bailed out with depositors' money, and it's not being bailed out with new taxes, so it's being bailed out with government money, which is printed money. So they're printing the money to bail out the banks. So as they print more money to bail out the banks, the world watches this and says, oh my God, they're printing more money. They're devaluing dollars even more rapidly than we had thought, and this is how it's going to go. Every country around the world holding dollars is saying, we got to get rid of these dollars as quickly as possible. That's why they're signing up for all these transaction systems. And again, this is not theoretical. So anybody out there saying, oh, de-dollarization won't happen. Where have you been for the last 6 months? It's happening every day. Are you kidding me? So we covered yesterday the fact that banks are now looking at, well, I should say regulators are going to tell banks to limit withdrawals because they're blaming the bank runs on the customers. I forgot which guy it was, one of the prominent banks, he said that bank runs were caused by iPhones because people can use their iPhones to sell too much too quickly. See? It's your fault. It's your fault for wanting to sell or remove your money or, you know, withdraw from the bank. It's your fault. That's what they're saying now. So how do they plan to stop you from removing money from the bank? They just put limits on it. Oh, you want to take, $100,000 out of the bank? Well, now we're going to have to delay you for 10 days or whatever. Yeah, it's not really your money if you can't control it, is it? So any money you leave at the bank, understand, at this point, where we are right now, any money you leave in the bank is no longer your money. Well, actually, it never has been. You've just been a creditor to the bank. But the banks, upon being ordered to do so by the government, the banks, or by the Treasury in particular, the banks will begin to limit withdrawals, and they will place delays on everything. Any outflows. Like, you could deposit money, no problem. Oh, and here it is. It's right away. You just can't take it out right away because, you know, that's irresponsible. You might cause a bank run. So remember how Jim Rickards talked about the ICE 9 theory of bank freezes? Remember that? He was talking about a loss of liquidity and how the systemic risk that already exists would cause banks to fail in a domino effect-like fashion, basically freezing the banks because none of them have enough liquidity to stay afloat. Well, what we are about to see is kind of like an ICE 9 situation, except they're freezing your deposits in order to keep the banks liquid, you see. This is, in essence, a nationally coordinated bail-in, kind of a slow bail-in, or maybe we should call it a baked-in. Your money's all going to be baked into the banks at, you know, 350 degrees for 10 days. It's baked in. You can't get it out because it's frozen. So I don't know, bail-in, bake-in, bank freeze, whatever you want to call it, this is what's coming. They're not going to let you access your funds. So just think about the practical side of this. What does it mean? Okay, let's say one day you decide you want to buy $100,000 worth of gold. They won't let you wire the money coming up soon when this kicks in. They won't let you wire 100 grand. They might limit daily wires to something like 10 grand. Well, 10 grand isn't much for gold. You know, there are people all over the place buying six figures worth of gold and silver in one order right now. Because, well, they're wisely getting out of the banks, you know, before all this kicks in. You try to wire 100 grand out, they'll just say, well, you know, according to the Treasury, this might cause a bank run. Therefore, you're going to have to limit your wires to $10,000 per day, and that's it. So what do you got to do? Show up at your bank 10 days in a row to wire 100 grand? Same thing if you try to write a check. The check will bounce. They'll reject it. Ah, it can't be over 10 grand, or let's say. Or maybe the limit's 20 or 25. I don't know. But for most businesses, a $25,000 daily limit on check writing or wire transfers or ACH or anything, that's ridiculous. You can't conduct business if you're limited to 25 grand a day. I can't conduct business if I'm limited to 25,000 a day. There are days where my company will write checks for $500,000 or $1 million to vendors. No, not every day, obviously, but frequently. And think about construction companies. There are days where they're buying $100,000 worth of hardware, or there are days when they're ordering $100,000 worth of concrete. You know, if you're building a hotel, you're going to have days where you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. What are you supposed to do? Like, pour just one portion of the concrete today and then another portion tomorrow? You got to spread the concrete out over 10 days? Well, guess what? Your foundation doesn't work. Your foundation's all jacked up because you're supposed to pour it all, the whole layer, all at once. You know, physics, people, physics and chemistry when it comes to concrete. You can't just spread that out and pour sections. it won't have the integrity, the structural integrity. You have buildings falling down. Yeah. So if they decide to put this on banks, every business in America will be looking at an alternative system, such as potentially whatever China and Russia and India, the BRICS nations, whatever they come up with. If you can just do business in that system, you know, here's a check for $100,000. I need concrete. Or here, $250,000. I need, you know, whey protein or whatever. Then everybody's going to want to use that system. If the U.S. system is all artificially slowed down, limited, no one will be able to function in it. Business will be crippled. So, see, what I'm saying here is it's not just other nations around the world that want to ditch the dollar and move into the, you know, the BRICS plus system or something that's stable and backed by commodities and something that allows you to move money around as needed. But it's also going to be U.S. businesses and U.S. investors and U.S. individuals. It's, you know, China and Russia and India and Iran and so on will probably end up presenting a far superior system to the United States than the current U.S. banking system or the Western finance system. Of course, the governments of the West will try to ban anybody from using, you know, the BRICS plus nation system. They'll just ban it. Oh, they'll force you to buy and sell and trade using banks, which force you to delay everything and force you to slow down. This is an economic nuclear option here. They're going to gut the economy. They're going to destroy the whole system. And gold and silver are, you know, one of your options to get out of this system right now while you still can. Maybe real estate is another option. Maybe you can buy a piece of land now while your bank still honors checks for $500,000 or something. Because it won't be for long. So think about this, folks. If you want to look at gold and silver, our gold and silver sponsor is the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. Metalswithmike.com. You know, my disclaimer, do your own research, decide what's right for you, get your own financial advisor. I'm not your financial advisor, and there is price risk in gold and silver, but there's going to be a whole lot of risk in leaving money in the banks, and that has become incredibly obvious at this point. So check out metalswithmike.com, the Treasure Island Company, or find other hard assets to get into while you can. We are fast approaching the day when the banks just say, no, you can't have your money. Good luck. Even you can't even blame the banks. The Treasury is going to order them to do that. That day's coming. Get your money out while you can. It's the only rational response at this point. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.